This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm good. A little overcast on the way to the studio today.
But last night, the 93% waxing gibbous moon was right there in my face.
Well, Melanie saw it. I didn't see it. I don't know.
It was
what I was doing.
But. Right there in your face.
Right there.
You're taller than
right
I thought.
There. Yeah, Ken is.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. It wasn't in my face.
Oh, that's right.
It was some significant winds up in Poway last night. Did you guys?
Was it?
Yeah,
no.
It was very windy.
There's
up in
nothing
high,
over at
yeah.
my place.
Yeah.
Calm in the southern half of the county. How about Central County, Mark Mahady?
Yeah, it was, yeah, totally, as far as I know, calm.
And it was warmer this morning.
Yeah, it wasn't bad out. I was really surprised. It was Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember which. Melanie said something about, well, God, it looks like it's gonna rain. So I pulled up my weather app on my phone. I'm like, wow, okay. Between noon and one in Poway, it says 90% chance of rain.
And we got that. I felt a drop. I was wondering if it was rain or not.
It was Thursday yes. because we had driveway happy hour that night, and we were all sitting in my neighbor's driveway, and I could hear drops hitting my jacket.
See?
But I couldn't feel them.
That should not have been between noon and 1 o'clock. You weren't doing driveway happy hour between noon and 1,
no,
were you?
No, I was not. We were doing it between 5 and 6:30.
Okay.
But I did have drops on the windshield on the way over this morning.
And that is most likely going to be
the extent
of our rain from this storm.
That's it.
We're
going
to get maybe a few hundredths of an inch. Nothing to disturb anything.
So I have to water that fertilizer in that I just brought home?
If you put it out, I did take some fertilizer out of the back of my car this morning and set it out, and I didn't put it under the roof. I just got it out of my car, and then I thought, we're not going to have enough rain
so
to mess up the bags.
Yeah.
At least you hope we're not going to have enough.
Well, maybe I just set it up so that people of the county of San Diego can get a decent amount of rain by leaving my bags of fertilizer out.
By not doing it.
Yeah. I did it for you.
We shall see.
You're a kind man.
And they have a new updated long-term forecast that is linked to the Weather Service, and they're not expecting continued rains like we had in December for the rest of January. We're going to be in a drier pattern for this month.
Down here.
But
in Northern California, they're still expecting some.
They are.
And this month is halfway over, so.
Well, yeah, that's why they were comfortable.
Confident in their,
Last week, Ken was saying it was practically half over.
That wasn't true.
I know.
It was close.
It was a little premature.
It was. Let's see. We do have classes today in San Diego at 9 o'clock. It's going to be Winter Veggies with Josh. And in Poway, we have a special guest speaker. Celeste Burns from EB Stone Organics is going to come down and talk to you about rose planting and rose care. So
she should be on the road right now.
She should be.
She's coming down from Santa Barbara, I hope so.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's see. And then next weekend, the 22nd, we have a couple of really good classes coming up in San Diego at 9 o'clock. It's going to be stone fruit tree pruning with Kurt Peacock. Always a good class. One of the most knowledgeable.
I thought that was last week.
No.
Didn't we have
That was bare root fruit tree selection.
Oh, it was a different class with Kurt.
Correct.
Sorry.
So that's going to be next Saturday at 9 o'clock in San Diego.
Kurt and Tyler do a lot of classes this time of year.
Yes, they do.
Fruit trees. Yes.
Yeah, and then in in Poway at 9:30 next Saturday. It's going to be all about fertilizer with Richard Wright. Should be another very, very good class. Then mark your calendars, the 28th, 29th, and 30th in Balboa Park. It's going to be the Orchid Society's Winter Orchid Show. So if you're in the park on one of those days or you just want to go see some really cool stuff, get out there and take a look at it.
I was grinning because I want credit for not saying anything about Richard Wright being full of fertilizer, all about fertilizers. I just let it go because I'm more mature now than I used to be.
Yeah, yeah, you did let it go.
Yeah. What?
Until you didn't.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
To be clear,
if you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We are actually going to go up to Fallbrook, if I can figure out how to do this.
Oh.
It's the Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Fine. If I say cat, Matt, do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Cat, Matt?
It's a product that you put in your garden to keep cats out of it because they don't like to step on it.
Okay.
Okay. I personally have not seen that. But
we have to be very careful here because cat people don't like us talking about their cat's poor feet. So be very careful with your words as we go forward on cat mat.
Yeah. Okay. See, I'm not really worried about cats. What I'm worried about are rats. So the question is there such a thing as a rat mat? In other words, is there a material that you can put around your cabbage to keep rats or discourage rats from eating your cabbage?
A ratinator.
One of the black tomcat rat traps.
Yeah, I don't know of anything that they won't walk on other than the sticky stuff, which may be kind of...
There are some repellents that you could try using. You don't put them on the plants themselves. You put it around the plants, and that might work. You do have to reapply them, though, as the scent, they're scent-based, and they do wear off. But the tomcat rat traps are extremely effective in controlling rats.
And voles with the smaller ones. They work for the voles and my field mice, which were eating my kale and broccoli. And I just put a bunch of those around the base of the plant, sometimes without any bait in them, and I'm still successful in eradicating.
Eradicating?
Yeah, see what I did there?
I did.
Okay, I'm unclear as to what you're referring to.
It's a rat trap. It's a black plastic rat trap. It's a snap trap. It's different than the old-fashioned wooden ones. They're very easy to set. You set them from the back without ever putting your hand near the actual gripping mechanism.
And you make a full skirt, a full circle.
Yeah, I put a bunch of them around a plant.
They're relatively inexpensive, and you get enough to circle the entire plant, and then the mice or rats still go after the target, and they step on them.
Okay, so what is it called?
Tomcat.
Tomcat rat traps or mice traps, the smaller ones.
Okay.
And they do work well with bait, as you know. Additionally, if you want to put them somewhere with bait, they are very effective. I use them a great deal during the summer months with tomatoes on them.
And they're very easy to clean too.
Right. They're reusable.
They're reusable.
Okay, and I'm assuming you have them at your store?
Yes, we do. You're up in Fallbrook?
Yes.
You might check with Grangetto's if you don't want to drive all the way down to Poway.
Okay.
But you are welcome to drive.
You're welcome to drive down. We do have them, but Grangetto's might have them too. That might save you a little bit of time.
Okay. And I guess it's something different from a regular mouse trap or rat trap.
It's an improved trap. The way that they're set up, they're much easier to set. They're much safer to set. And much easier to clean.
Okay. Again, what do you call them?
Tomcat.
Okay, Tomcat. Okay.
Tomcat. T-O-M-K-A-T.
C-A-T.
Okay. Is it C-A-T?
Isn't it C?
Okay, it's either C or
I thought it was K.
Really, I don't remember it being a K, but...
Yeah, just ask for a Tomcat rodent trap and...
And just don't spell it, and then nobody will know whether you're saying it with a C or a K.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
I don't know what it is, but I've had more rats around my chicken coop this last month than I've ever seen. I see them regularly, and sometimes they're within reach, and I didn't have a stick to smack it with. This morning I went down to the coop, and I picked up a log from alongside the garage and went down there, and there was one running along the middle of the wall, and I missed it. But
did you throw the log at it?
Yeah, I did. I've never seen them on a regular basis down there, and for the last month I have. I've gotten five of them now, five in one, and then one more, so six.
With traps or your sticks?
No, with the Ratinator. Two nights ago I was out there, and on the shade cloth right above my head, within 3 feet of my head, was a rat, and I didn't want to swing at it with my flashlight. But I didn't have a stick, and by the time I picked up a stick, it was gone.
We have a very large compost bin with three bin one that we made. And Capri was putting some compost in. And when she opened it, a rat jumped and obviously, a little freaked out.
Was there
a
noise that came?
Well, there may or may not have been a noise. But the bottom line is she dropped the cover to walk away. And then when I went to look, she had killed the rat. It hit the rat and killed it just in the same way you do it.
Well, no, she was successful.
In the same way you attempted to.
Gotcha. Yes. Gotcha. I wonder, I've started a worm compost just outside the coop, and I wonder if that's attracting the rats.
They're going after the worms?
Yeah.
Could be.
Or the warmth of the compost. At night, they'll
so
burrow
compost,
in.
So compost piles are bad.
Compost piles do attract rodents.
No, not necessarily. They're not necessarily bad.
No, they're not bad.
Okay.
But there is heat, like George is saying.
All right. Interesting. The things I learn if I listen to you guys.
Yeah, every once in a while. Yeah. We have a few new bare root selections that have come in.
Finally.
We've got leeks. Leek starts came in.
Oh, yes. Wow. And are available in both stores.
Have you ever grown leeks? I've never grown leeks.
I have.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they grow very fast from those starts. They become big leeks.
Well, I was looking at the bundles as they were pricing them at customer service. And I commented to a couple of our colleagues that were there. I said, "Man, you really gotta like leeks if you're gonna buy one of these, because there's a lot of starts in there." And then Dora said, "Well, if you do a lot of French cooking, then you'll definitely go through them." I said, "We buy two leeks a year." I mean,
well, I don't think I've ever bought a leek.
I haven't.
The cousin of the onion. Yeah. Right. I've bought them. There's a number of good potato soup recipes that goes well.
That's what
I've
heard. But. Well,
normally George and I would split a bundle, but I just was pretty excited, so I bought the whole bundle and I planted. Well, we got in those new redwood raised planters at Poway.
Yeah.
They have not been shipped down south yet. Communication has not taken place to make that happen. But
so
I took one to my folks' house because it's perfect for somebody who may be trying to garden seeded or without much bending over. And I planted up, I planted some leeks in there, some bare root strawberries, which we were not expecting, which we now have Sequoia strawberries bare root at each store or both stores. And guess what else I found in the back of my car? I found a whole package of white short day onions.
Were those those that we split, or was that a different batch?
Oh, did we? Is that why the bag was short? Did we split a bag?
I think we split some this year.
That must be it. Not the starts.
Right.
But the bag. It's been sitting in my car since probably October.
About. They haven't gone to dust yet?
They had not. They had not shrunk, and they had not rotted. So I planted all that in her raised planter. She was very excited.
Very good.
Very nice. What else did we get? Oh, Venus seedless grapes, which is a new variety that we have not had before.
Familiar
it's
with that
been
one.
Around for a long time. It's new to us.
Yeah.
And since Dave Wilson, our primary supplier, doesn't carry it, I called Tom to see if he had anything good to say about it, and he did. It's a good, less heat requiring, I think it's a white seedless grape. He was pretty excited about it. Wanted to know where we had gotten it. And so we have some of those at each store. And I have one of those in a bag at home. The take it home and plant it within 24 hours bag.
Or leave it in the car bag.
Well, I took it out of the car next morning. So it was only in the car overnight. And now it's on the side of the house going on day three. We'll see how this, maybe this weekend.
Very good.
And I the blackberries. I got a.
Let's talk about that after we do the break.
Oh, I got a.
We will talk more about blackberries right after this break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. You wanted to talk about blackberries.
Well, let's talk about Venus grapes first.
I thought we did.
Yeah, we did. But you remember that Venus grape that I thought was a white grape?
It's not.
It's a large, self-fertile, purple-black seedless grape.
Oh, well that...
So it's almost like a white grape.
So it's only not as much like a Thompson as you told me it was.
No. Not even close.
But he was man enough to admit he was wrong and make the correction.
Not on the air.
So who told you were wrong?
I just did.
Oh, you went and looked it up?
I figured I better look it up. Medium large. It's supposed to be very good, so we'll see. I really like my Eastern Concord with the seeds because I know those are good for me. And the flavors of a Concord grape are amazing. But the blackberries, we also got in Ponca, P-O-N-C-A, and Wachita. Both thornless blackberries that are good for our area. And my blackberry consultant in North Poway, Jim, who loves his blackberries in Tessimo, says the Wachita has been the new best. Favorite, best, and most productive one that he has.
Mm. Really?
And Dave Wilson doesn't grow it. So we got in some really nice Wachitas.
They were nice.
And they were two years, so they're bigger than some of the others. But they are true bare root, and they need to go home and get planted.
How many days do you recommend as a nursery professional?
I would say as a nursery professional, less than 24 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I am a firm believer when you're not talking about raising children and do as I say, not as I do.
We have to. There was one other bare root thing we had gotten.
What was it?
Asparagus. UC 157.
The most productive, I was reading.
I was asking, maybe George, maybe you know the answer to this question, because I certainly don't, and David was no help. why do you have to plant asparagus in a trench? What is the purpose of that?
What do you mean a trench?
You're supposed to plant them deep.
And you do plant them deep. But I have no idea why, other than maybe to keep them from blowing over. Right. I started mine in a bit of a deep bed, and I covered up as they've grown.
As they've grown,
And then left them, and they've been probably 6, 10, 12 years worth of production.
Yeah.
Protect roots. The crown somehow, but I'm not sure.
I'll tell you this, the chickens, when they get out, that's one of the first places that they go and just tear up
everything.
The asparagus bed. The asparagus bed beyond everything else. I think it's because it's very loose soil, and they just dig through it and expose all the crowns, so maybe that's why you have to put them deep if you have chickens.
All right, so the big thought that I have has no relation to horticulture, but why, when you get an injection, do we have to sterilize the injection site? Do we rub it down with rubbing alcohol or something to sterilize it? But when you get dental injections, don't worry about your filthy mouth. We're going to just drive it in without doing anything.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You should ask your dentist.
I did. He didn't have the answer. And I still respect my dentist for that. But is it already in your body so we don't care?
I don't know. That's a good question. A good question. Oh, let's see. Going back to horticulture.
Yeah,
sorry.
David Austin roses are in.
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
And they were transferred down to San Diego yesterday.
That's what Chris picked up yesterday.
Yeah, okay. He told me he was getting roses. I should have asked.
And it's funny, Tomcat C versus Tomcat K. You have Chris C versus Chris K, right?
That is true.
Okay.
And Tomcat, the rodent-killing device,
yes,
is C.
Thank you, George.
Just wanted to...
All right.
Oh, you looked it up?
I'm looking at their website right now.
I want you to know, Ken, that I was backing you not just because you're Ken Anderson, but because I honestly believed it started with a K.
I would have swore that it started with a K.
So you have a few, not all of the...
David Austin's.
You have a few of each of the varieties that we got in,
okay,
but we couldn't put as many on the truck as we wanted to send you. But
right,
you have some of each variety, as we do in Poway. And Marge, the tree roses have been delayed, so I was not able to pull your David Austin tree rose yet. We are still expecting them. I spoke to David Austin rose people this week, and so they have backordered the tree roses, but we are still expecting them.
Oh, which is fine.
Now, those are not named other than color. Is that correct?
When on the confirmations, they are only by color. I am assuming
they're all named.
That they're going to have a name when they come in.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully.
But right now, we just have the five colors, and it says tree rose. So we shall see.
We'll see.
It's good. People have been waiting and waiting for the David Austin.
Yeah, because it's not something we get.
They came in, and fortunately, we were able to get the extra truck to get them to both stores today. So they're available. They'll be available today at both
stores.
Have
we had David Austin tree roses before?
We did
years ago.
Just a very few. We got one, I think it was just one variety.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Very limited. Well, they came and went very quickly.
Oh, I guess so. I was working with Melanie on putting together an article for the newsletter, and I remembered that back in the 60s, we used to put out catalogs for the nursery. And it was kind of interesting going through them. I have one here. The oldest one that I could find in all of the stuff that we have left over was from 1960. So it's a 62-year-old catalog.
Wow.
I was just a young kid.
And did one of the suppliers put those together for the nursery?
It was a publishing company, and it was kind of a generic catalog. And I don't know all the details of it, but it was a generic catalog that we could kind of tweak a little bit here and there, but had covered most of the basics of trees and plants,
right.
Bedding plants, roses. There's a little thing about designing your garden. They give you a little grid that you can sketch your yard out on and bring it into the nursery, and we would help people select plants. But it's interesting looking through some of the stuff that was in here.
Things that might have been popular in 1960.
Things that were popular then but are still popular now, like Abelia Edward Goucher, Grandiflora. In azaleas, I thought this was interesting. They actually have a section of Karume azaleas,
wow,
which are really cool.
Why are they so cool?
Because it's a very compact plant and a very small flower, but they bloom like crazy. Coral bells, which is still fairly available, and Ward's ruby, which is one of the most spectacular azaleas I've ever seen. But there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So there's about 6 other ones that I'd never heard of before, and then Belgian indica azaleas. There's Albert and Elizabeth, never heard of it. Niobe, never heard of it. Paul Shame, never heard of it. And Sweetheart Supreme, haven't heard of that.
Did you guys see a lot more azaleas in people's yards when you were growing up here? I grew up back east where they were everywhere, but here when you
I think they were popular. They were more popular 30 years ago than they are now. At least in Poway, it's not a hugely popular plant.
My dad loves his azaleas. So.
I think they're gorgeous if you've got the right spot and can, you know.
Sun azaleas, the southern indicas. Brilliant, which you see every once in a while. Duke de Rohan, that was still pop. Fielder's White, which I think kind of got taken over by Alaska.
Alaska, yeah.
But Fielder's White is a southern indica. It's much bigger.
Pride of Dorking, Southern Charm, I'm not familiar with.
Southern Charm is still around.
I'm saying Pride of Dorking's around.
Was it Ronnie Madruga or who? One of the cashiers from Point Loma, their favorite camellia was the pink karumi. What coral bells?
Coral bells.
Do you remember?
No.
Camellia.
And then
David. You said camellia?
No. Did I say camellia?
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
azalea. Coral.
When I say camellia, sometimes I mean azalea.
Okay, because you confuse me, yeah. Which is not uncommon. But
and then there, in under there's a lot of camellia japonicas listed. Adolph Ottesen, Alba Plana, Chandler Elegans, Cinderella, C.M. Wilson, Colonel Fiery, Covina, Dakigura, Debutante. There's a lot of them that are still available. Are still fairly popular. And actually, we're getting right into camellia season.
We have
starting to bloom.
The flowering.
The Sasanquas are
flowering
right in the middle of it.
They're gibbous waning.
There was a beautiful one in your office the other day. It was a japonica. It wasn't Kramer Supreme, I don't think.
No, I don't remember which one it was.
It was bicolor.
But Brian pulled it because it looked like it was sporting, but I believe it is a sport and was doing what it was supposed to do. Yeah. It was like a peony form.
It was. It was like white center with a red edge on it.
Yes.
It was really pretty. And another one that they have listed here, which we don't see very often at all, is a Camellia reticulata.
That's the real big one, right?
The big one, yeah.
Big ones.
Big flower.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting. You go through and you see the stuff that was very popular.
It's funny how they come back and things cycle.
Am I in that catalog?
Yeah.
No.
You weren't born yet.
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness.
Crotalaria. I mean, that's unusual to see that in a...
We get them every once in a while.
We had them a couple of times this year.
Marcos.
There's a bunch of
trying to do our own cuttings of that, but I don't think kept it up.
Is Cecile Brunet Bush Rose in there?
Let me look.
That is becoming very hard to find now. Only the climber.
Yeah, the bush form.
Yeah.
We have the shrub one out front by our waterfall.
I think that's a climber.
No, not the one that's in the rocks, but the one that's by the waterfall.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
There's a shrub version.
The one that's in the rocks was purchased as a bush one.
Oh. Yeah, it's growing. Yeah, it's sending out. But the other one that's up against
Quick factoid on where we used to get them commonly, other than the bare root suppliers, which don't do them anymore, is Roland Horak. He used to grow the climbing ones. And every once in a while, his climbers, not every once in a while, like 10% of the ones that he took cuttings for climbers ended up reverting and being bushes.
Right.
And so he didn't really want those, and we were able to get them from him relatively cheaply because he was growing them for climbers.
Correct.
And now that's all anybody is doing.
Right.
And if the climbers fail, they just toss them. And
why don't we go out front next to our Gardenia thumbergia is where we have that and start making cuttings.
When you say we, how many of us at this table have been successful in growing roses from cuttings?
Well, it's funny you say that. I've tried it once, and I tried it a couple times. It wasn't successful, but I trimmed roses once, and it fell off and rooted.
Well, there you go.
So it wasn't even intentional.
Yeah, the unintentional. Yeah. If at first I don't succeed, Mark and I give up and quit, that's what I did. What about you, Ken?
I have not tried it myself.
But who has been successful,
George?
You know
I have because I've given you some roses.
I know. So,
non-patented varieties.
Which, of course.
Oh, okay. So I have an idea.
We'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We need to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
All And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. What were we talking about before the break?
Your catalog?
Your catalog.
Okay.
The 60s.
Yeah. Oh, you wanted to know about Cecil Bruner. No, it's not listed in there. There were a few other reasons.
Something else that we were going to go off on.
There was, but while we try to think about that, I'm going to go talk to Barbara in San Diego. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What can we do for you?
Question on succulents. I have quite a few pots with succulents in it, and what should I fertilize or feed them? What should I use and how often?
I would say Grow Power.
Yeah.
Well, Grow Power, we sell two different cactus fertilizers that are specifically tailored for cactus and succulents.
Well, there's cactus juice. What's the other
cactus
one?
Cactus juice and then a Schultz cactus fertilizer, liquid fertilizers that work well.
Do you have fertilizer at home?
I do, but it's kind of random.
Well, I don't think they need...
They don't need much.
They don't need a whole lot. You know, one thing that would work really well is the Grow Power planting tablets. Are they in containers or in the ground?
Containers.
Yeah, Grow Power planting tablets.
That'd be perfect.
It's a big pill that's about the size of a quarter and a quarter of an inch thick. For smaller pots, you can break them in half. For larger ones, you put one or two into them, and that'll give them enough fertilizer to last a year.
Yeah, because they break down slowly.
Yeah, it breaks down very slowly. And Grow Power is an excellent fertilizer.
Just kind of like put it in the center of the pot? Or
Yeah, just drop them in. I just grab a handful and go around and throw them in the pots. And then as you water it, it breaks it down. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And that's for succulents?
You can use it for anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great potted plants, it's a great general purpose fertilizer.
Yeah, succulents they're not. I don't think they're particularly fussy as far as fertilizer goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about something to spray them with their systemic? Because I got they got infested with mealybugs.
Oh, there's houseplant granule.
Yeah.
Bonide houseplant granules. It's a systemic insecticide. It's a granule. You measure it out and sprinkle it onto the soil, water it in. It gets absorbed through the root system, and it takes care of the the mealybugs and sucking insects, things like that.
And what's it called? Bonide?
Bonide houseplant granules.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be a houseplant, but that's what it's called.
That's what it's called.
Right. It's for containers.
It's for containers.
Okay.
And you can do that with the, put the Grow Power tabs and the thing down at the same time and water it in.
You should be good to go.
Okay. And then one more question, please. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Peat moss. Can I mix that in containers? If I'm planting in containers outside?
Yeah, you can. A lot of potting soils already have peat moss in it, so you wouldn't need to add more. If you have stuff that dries out fairly quickly, a little bit of extra peat moss is going to hold some more water. But yeah, you could. If you want to do that, you could do that.
Yeah, because I've noticed if they go without watering for a while, it just kind of goes on the top and straight down through the bottom. It's not absorbing.
That will happen with peat moss too. When it dries out, it contracts. So that it's not a good idea to put a super heavy peat moss planting medium in, because it will contract. When it dries out, it will contract away from the side of the pot, and then the water just runs right around the side of the root ball. So you do want some other organic material that's not going to contract like that.
Maybe some compost tape.
Or planter mix would be great.
And when it does dry out, make sure you kind of put it on a drip to get wet again.
Yeah, or get a bucket of water and set it in the bucket and let it soak in that way.
Okay, all right.
Do we still have the water in the products to re-wet?
They keep changing the name.
There is a product that we have that will break the surface tension of the water, so it will recoat and rehydrate the soil when it gets too dry. That's another option to re-wet it.
Yeah, and you don't have to do that all the time. Usually one application will last for a while.
And what's it called?
I don't know.
I think it was called Water In.
Product formerly known as Water In.
Yeah, but if
you could ask for
if you pop into any store, either of the stores, they'll help you out.
Yeah, we can help you out.
Okay, and then you just add that like once a year, or use it constantly, water it in? Or?
No, just use it if you let it get too dry to where the water won't soak in anymore.
Oh, so as needed.
As yes. needed, yeah. Needed, exactly.
Okay. All right. Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks, Barbara. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Take care.
Does anybody remember what I was going to talk about when we came back?
No.
Well, we were touching on making Cecil Bruner cuttings, and then we drifted off from there. So that was the last thing I recall.
Yeah, we were talking about roses, but...
All right.
Yeah, and like I said, Cecil Bruner is not in the catalog.
What we should do... What we should do, it'd be very easy just to take some stems and either air layer them or drag them down to the ground while they're still attached to the plant and let them root in and then cut them off. I have a couple of Cecils at home. I will give that a try. And George,
bring me some cuttings.
You're the only one who has been the real successful rose
trying
cutter here, so maybe
bring me some cuttings. We'll play around.
Okay.
We don't get very many calls for that anyway. Personally, do we?
What, Cecil Bruner?
Yeah, I mean,
in the bush.
In the bush form.
No.
I mean,
I think the only time I see it is when ours is in full bloom and people walk past it out front and say, what is that? And then they're looking for one.
Do you know why they should want one? Because it is bulletproof.
It is.
It is
doesn't get disease.
That
is true. Bugs don't bother it. It blooms
fragrant.
Like crazy. Yeah. And the beauty of the polyantha that we can't get right now is that it blooms so much more of the year than the climber.
Yeah,
that is true.
It blooms almost all year round.
Yeah.
I got one on my back fence. The trunk on it is probably about 6 inches across. It's been there for, I think I planted it when I built the house.
It's a great rose, and it's my mom's favorite rose, so she always has a little.
It's a beautiful beautiful little flower. I mean,
it's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a miniature rose.
Okay,
very nice.
Fragrant.
Yes. Let's see. Another thing we have coming up, hopefully this fall. We were working on it yesterday. We may have a fall fruit tree program in the works, where we will be able to get certain fruit trees that we normally carry bare root. Rooted and earlier. They'll be smaller, but the success rate on them should be much higher.
You won't run the risk or as great a risk of failure from transplant, especially on the harder to grow varieties. And they're also the varieties that we've been having trouble getting enough of that we're already sold out of. So that's in the works, as well as
some citrus.
Some very hard to find, or varieties I've never seen before. Hopefully,
and you brought that list with you, didn't you?
Oh yeah, it's right here in my mind. But we have a bunch of varieties that I've never seen available before. They're going to be small. They're going to be transplant size, but
that'll be interesting.
They're going to there's probably between 10 and 15 varieties that. Of different grapefruits, different oranges.
Some mandarins,
all sorts of things. And then
different lemons.
A few that we have had before, like the Shasta Gold, Yosemite Gold, and there's one more gold from that same series that we haven't had available for probably 10 or 15 years. Yeah. We're going to have a few. All sorts of exciting stuff. It was neat.
It was exciting to discuss.
And it was kind of serendipitous. It all came about because of a contract grow that I worked on how many years ago?
Oh, wow.
Three or four years ago, the kumquat contract.
Right.
And they have all sorts of stuff they grow. But so I was talking to that gentleman, and that led to all this other citrus that we can get. And then that led to another fruit tree supplier. So anyway, it's very interesting. And it was a good week. All by accident.
It was a good week because of that.
I think there's three varieties of citrus that we're getting that are coming in on Flying Dragon rootstock.
Oh,
so
really?
They're going to be true.
Somebody's doing that. Okay.
True dwarf citrus.
Yeah, I know. Because not everybody.
Compact.
A lot of people want dwarf citrus.
Monrovia did those for a while,
right.
But they got out of that. Finding stuff on Flying Dragon is
very difficult.
Is difficult.
I would have told people it was impossible.
Yeah.
But now I guess it's not.
I think we got a Meyer lemon.
I took a picture of the list. I did bring it with me.
Okay. So we've got a Meyer lemon coming in on Flying Dragon. I thought there was a grapefruit on Flying Dragon, which I thought was weird.
Maybe that's to make bonsai grapefruit.
Yeah. Why do you want that small of a grapefruit tree?
But we've had a few people asking for the Genoa lemon.
Yeah.
And I hadn't had that available from people down in our normal availability. And then Lisbon lemon, Ponderosa lemon. So it should be very interesting. And hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll have that in. We'll, when they arrive, we'll mention it on the air so you can come in. It's a, it'll be great for people who want to try and expand their citrus horizons.
Well, yeah, we have. There's quite a few people.
And you're going to have to arm wrestle George.
Oh, I'm getting stuck.
Well, I remember, I remember Durling's used to grow Lisbon lemon and Ponderosa lemon when I was a kid. Because I remember Lisbon lemons were just nasty. I mean, they got really big spines on them.
Thorny.
You
got
to be really careful when you're working around them. And Ponderosa lemon was those. It's like the size of a football.
Yeah, I was going to say they were huge.
They're huge. Huge lemons.
You know that the thorns on the Lisbon lemon are the modern day leeches. So if you need a good bloodletting, you can just harvest.
Just go prune your Lisbon lemon.
Yes.
So be aware if you are one of the people who gets the Lisbon lemon, just be aware of that because they are pretty nasty as far as their thorns are concerned.
Yes, please exercise caution, for this tree can cause you injury or damage.
Yes. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Because I'm still in love with you, I want to see you dance again. Because I'm still in love with you, on this harvest moon.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Let's see, what else have we got going on?
Doesn't that sound like a song you should be sitting out in the sun, tipping your cowboy hat back, and sipping a sarsaparilla to?
No, I think you should be sitting outside with a full moon, glass of wine, and dancing to it.
Yeah,
with somebody.
Thanks, George. There you go. That's more
realistic. So you're going literal.
I'm going. It's a great song. Yeah.
All right.
Underrated Neil Young.
One thing I spotted as I was walking into the store yesterday, we have some Aknas in stock.
The Mickey Mouse plant,
which is just in time for Lunar New Year.
Correct.
Which should be coming up shortly, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
February?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think it's about the first week in February.
I think so.
Did you
say they were in bloom? I didn't.
They're not in bloom.
They're not in bloom.
They're not in bloom, but they are there.
Flower yellow anyway. I mean, people.
Yellow and red.
And the flowers are yellow, aren't they? And then they bury up.
It's a weird
Mickey
flower.
Mickey Mouse, yeah.
Yeah, it's strange.
It looks like Mickey Mouse's head.
Right.
Yeah.
The nose with ears.
Correct.
Yeah. It's kind of a cool plant.
Yeah, it is.
It's an interesting plant. It doesn't get very big. Kind of grows more horizontal than it does vertically. But it's a good looking plant. It's evergreen.
And the foliage looks kind of pomegranate-ish.
Yes. Kind of, long and narrow, kind of narrow, a little bit of serration on the edge of it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are available. The second shipment of star roses has arrived. It has not been processed yet. But
David Austin took priority, but in those boxes should be more Eden climbers. So we're going to get to those today because we sold out of Eden climbers immediately this year. I know.
I don't get it. I mean, I'm not knocking it. I just don't know why.
Yeah,
why there was a run on Eden climbers this year.
The ebbs and flows of the business.
Yeah,
the
rose. Truth.
Yeah. Oh, we also got a pretty good size order from Monrovia in Oregon, and they grow some just absolutely stunning stuff up in Oregon.
Forsythias didn't come in.
They didn't come down.
They should have.
We got beautiful blueberries though. Man, blueberries are spectacular.
And the first deciduous magnolias.
Okay.
And
I was talking to George about that during the break. We got a deciduous magnolia called Yellowbird, which I had never seen before, and it's canary yellow.
Oh, wow.
The flower is canary yellow. So
Yellowbird, don't fly away, fly away.
And we also got some of the purple, the nigris.
And we got in some syringa, lilacs. The lilacs came down too. They were fully dormant.
Oh, they must have gotten put out in the bed then, because they're not out front. We did have some red buds out there. And then another one that I had not seen before, morning cloud chautauqua. It's dormant out front.
Did you see the 2-gallon cans of pecan shells that had nothing except for little tiny buds starting to sprout out of them?
No, I'm guessing those are hostas?
No.
No?
That is an excellent guess, and normally it would be, but it was the Ito peonies.
Oh, I saw the 5 gallons.
Okay, 5 gallons. Yeah. The first bag. Did you see the 5-gallon pots with pecan shells?
Yes, I did, and I noticed that they were Ito peonies.
That's it.
So those will be leafing out shortly.
Ken, back to the Yellowbird magnolia.
Yes, sir.
That I was looking it up after you had mentioned it earlier. Mm-hmm. It was introduced from the Brooklyn Botanical Garden. That's where they developed it, I guess, hybridized it.
A tree grows in Brooklyn?
A tree grows in Brooklyn, which is your least favorite tree in the world. Is the actual tree.
Ailanthus?
Ailanthus. That's the tree that was in the book.
It always takes me back to Bugs Bunny.
It's been years since I was up there, but my dad and I were up in San Francisco for a master nursery meeting probably, more than 20 years ago. And we went to the Winchester house while we were up there. They have the biggest Magnolia solangiana I've ever seen. The thing had a trunk on it that had to be 18 inches in diameter. I mean, it was massive. And it was planted right up against the house. I'm sure it was. It wasn't in bloom when we were there, but man, when it's in bloom, it's got to be just a knockout.
Well, there's one in University City that I drove by when it was in full flower.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I mean, it's like I would have never thought that it would anything could look that nice, but it was especially here. But it looked beautiful.
Yeah, it's a really good looking tree. A couple other things that we got in from Oregon. We got some Japanese black pines in, Monrovia grows some of the most beautiful conifers up there.
Did you notice if they were the Thunderhead? Regular majestic beauties, or if they were the dwarf thundercloud? Were they more compact?
I think they're thunderclouds.
Yeah, those are amazing pines.
Yeah. The other one that we got in, which is really, really nice, especially if you have kind of a Japanese style garden, we got some beautiful Taniosho pines.
Yeah.
And they're grown kind of like a
tabletop
lollipop. They've got about a 2 to 3 foot trunk and a head on top of them. It's a beautiful pine tree.
Really,
and then we got the weeping cherries. The weeping flowering cherries. I can't remember the name of it.
Snow fountain.
Could be. Yeah. Like, but those are really nice too. They're big, and they came in. The ones we got were 5-gallon. I think we were supposed to get 7s or 10s, but the ones that came in were 5s. But they're still really big plants.
That was another thing that's on the fall list.
Oh, for
of the
year?
Trees was
cherries,
pink cloud, and Kwanzaa.
Okay,
yes, flowering cherries,
the regular flowering, the weeping.
Right.
I was walking through the shade house yesterday, and I noticed primrose are in full swing right now. We got English primrose, obconicas, and malacoides all in stock and all in bloom.
Do you know what else is in?
What?
Autotalk guys, I can hear. Man, they are loud in the hallways, those Autotalk gentlemen.
The other thing that I noticed when I was walking by was we had 6 packs of Queen Anne's lace, which...
It's been a long time.
It has been a very long time, and it looks like it's relatively available now, but we had people coming in asking for that.
All the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Do you remember what your dad's recipe was for that?
I do. It's a great recipe.
the recipe when you can't find Queen Anne's lace, George, is to
plant carrots and let them go to seed.
Yeah, and let them go to seed.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that looks like that looks kind of like Queen Anne's lace when it's in bloom is coriander. Has a very similar look to it.
Yeah.
You probably don't like the smell of it.
That leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I figured you would find that somewhat distasteful. But I thought that was interesting. I just hadn't seen it for a while. And you know what seems to, for shade color, that seems to have kind of fallen out of favor, or at least not nearly as popular as it was, is impatience. I don't think we sell nearly as many impatiens as we used to.
We don't, but they started getting
like
a fungus started bothering them. I don't know if it was the downy mildew. I don't remember what it was, but it isn't as bulletproof as it once was.
Correct. Yeah. They used to be, and I still claim them to be, but you're right. They're not as bulletproof as they used to be.
It used to be the go-to.
Yeah.
But now there's so many other pretty things.
In the shade?
Yeah. Primrose, begonias.
Well, primrose have been around forever.
I know.
True.
And I have to admit,
yeah,
it hasn't gone by
the wayside. I like the English primrose. Of the three, I think the English primrose is probably the best. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We'll be back next weekend with another hour of Garden Talk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.